Genuine religion. We did this scripture for the whole month. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. Jesus came to show us what God is like. If you really want to know what God is like, look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus will show you what God is like. And it says, we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Being born again, giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God places you in Christ, and you're there forever. Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to read off some scriptures, quite a few here right at the beginning, before I do much talking about them. But this is John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. So the wicked hate the light, try to hide from it, for their lives are fully exposed in the light. But those who love the truth will come out into the light and welcome its exposure. For the light will reveal that their fruitful works are produced by God. The light of God inside of you, God wants to produce works through you and me. You know, people say, well, I can't pray for the sick, or I can't pray for anybody. But this, if you've got Christ in you, He's the one who does the works through you and me. It's not you doing the work. You know, so many times people go, it's not me. You know, I heard a good story. This is pretty good. You know, it's like the donkey who wrote, that Jesus rode. The donkey didn't ride Jesus. It was the other way around. Jesus riding on the donkey into town. And all the people were throwing their palm branches and saying, glory to God in the highest, and they were praising God and everything. Well, the donkey didn't get all prideful and just go, well, it's not me. It's not me. No, we know that it's not you. It was Jesus riding on the donkey. The donkey didn't have to say, I just want y'all to know it's not me. So if somebody gets healed or gets touched and blessed by God, you don't have to say, well, it's not me. It's not me. No, we know. You're just like the donkey. A little better looking, hopefully, but you're just like him. I mean, it's all about Jesus. I said it's all about Jesus and the power that is in you. It's His power. It's His anointing, and He gets all the glory because of that. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So, you know, you don't have to get all worked. Well, I just want you all to know. It's not me. Yeah, we know that. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. How true and how faithful is this message? I want you to be especially emphasize these truths so that those who believe in God will be careful to devote themselves to doing good works. It's always beautiful and profitable for believers to do good works. You know, we're a grace church. We preach grace. We've been doing that for years. We are grace. You are not accepted to God or by God because of what your works are. There is nothing you and I can do. Listen to me now. There's nothing you and I can do to be acceptable to God because of your works. It's because you have accepted Jesus Christ. It's nothing to do. I'm just going to clean the toilets and I'm just going to get some, you know, brownie points with God. No, I'm sorry, you're not. Although we do need toilets clean. But this is what this scripture is saying in Titus. He's saying that because, you know, I was raised in thinking that you had to do works to be accepted by Him. Now we understand that we are accepted by Him, and that gives us the confidence and the grace to do good works. We don't get the cart before the horse. You do good works because of His grace, because you want to. It's not because you have to. There's a want to on the inside of you. There's a grace on the inside of you to do the works of God. And that is, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Chapter 2, verse 11, and Titus says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How many men? Everybody. Grace has appeared to everybody. And it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Grace does that, by the way. Grace causes you to want to live right and do right. Instead of, I have to do right, there is now a grace, a power inside every believer. And if you don't know that, you're still going to try to work and do right. But if you understand, you have a revelation that I don't have to do right to be accepted. I am right, therefore I have the grace of God inside me, and now He does right through me. God wants to live through your life. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. And this is why we need to be awakened. I just feel like this message is to awaken all of us. To do good works because there's so many people hurting. You know, there's been a few days here just recently that, you know, you just, whether you're walking in a grocery store, or you're, you know, I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting for my wife to come out because I don't want to go into that store. And you just look around and you just see people, you know, they're limping or they have an oxygen tank or just, you can tell something's wrong with them. I mean, there's so many people that are hurting. And this is not, your Heavenly Father wants them to be touched by the power of God. You know? And you know, and I know people fight and wrestle with this. They say, well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. No. He gave this earth to mankind. Genesis chapter 1, He says, Adam, you have this earth. Take dominion over it. Subdue it. What does that mean? You're in charge. You're in charge. So take charge. So the world is in its shape today because of the choices we have been making. Huh. People want to blame God. People hate God because, you know, He allowed this. No, mankind allowed it. Hallelujah. James 1:27, true spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make difference in the lives of the orphans and widows and their troubles, to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. This is the principle that James is saying. He said basically is this, help people. Just help people. If anybody needs help, you don't have to sit there and go, God, do you want me to help this person? You know, that's a silly prayer. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, Of course that God wants you to help them. God's not up in heaven going, I'm not for sure about this one. He's not doing that, you know. People think that way when it comes to about healing. Oh, God wants to heal that one. No, I'm not sure about that one. He doesn't. May not want to heal that one. Oh, God may not want that one blessed. He probably doesn't want that one to have money because, you know, they'll fall off the deep end and, you know, no telling what will happen with them. What parent on this planet has that kind of mentality towards their kids? I don't want you to have any money. I want you to live under a bridge and just learn how tough life is. No parent in their right mind. Let me clarify that. No parent in their right mind is ever going to want that for their kids. Okay, I'm just making sure I'm talking to the right crowd. You know, as one person says, you know, I can see your face. You're not on TV. I can see your faces. God wants His children blessed. You know, people want that about their kids, but they think, well, God may not want that. So what you're saying is you're a better parent than your Heavenly Father. Nobody would in their right mind say that. But if that's your attitude, that God may be allowing this to happen, how about God has given you dominion? Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all, how much? Over all the power of the enemy. He says, I've given you the authority. You have it. Now it's your responsibility to enforce that. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, right before He was going to be crucified, He called all of His disciples together. And right after supper, he took the opportunity to illustrate an awesome power and true authority in servanthood. The Bible says that Jesus got up from the table and he set aside his garments, which represented his power, his position, his prestige. Then he took a towel and he began to do the unthinkable. He began to wash and dry dirty disciples' feet. The creator of all creation, God, washed man's dirty feet. John chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, he took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. He chose to show us a great example. In verse 13, the Amplified Version says, "You call me teacher, master, and Lord, and you are right in doing so." So he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He said, "For that is what I am. If I then, your Lord, your teacher, your master, have washed your feet, you ought, it is your duty. You are under obligation, you owe it to wash one another's feet, for I have given you this as an example so that you should do it in turn what I have done to you." Now, he's not saying that, "All right, everybody, take off your shoes, we're going to wash." No, I'm not washing your feet. But this is the principle behind it. Are you hearing me? Get the principle. The principle is this: you need to serve one another. You need to help people. He says, "I'm the master. I am the greatest as far as being God over all things. And yet, I've stooped down and I washed your feet." This is the principle of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, let's just be honest. Don't raise your hand. We all like being served, don't you? Don't you like being served? Breakfast in bed. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Just something awesome about breakfast in bed. Okay, I'm back on track. All right. But this is the thing. How about you serve? Jesus, this is what he's saying. It's not like the world. It's not like the world. To be served is the greatest thing. In the kingdom of God, the greatest thing is to serve. He says, you want to be great? You want to be, everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be great. Your 5 minutes of fame, whatever it may be, you want to be great. Jesus said, this is the way it is in the kingdom of God. You serve people. Then you shall be great in my kingdom. It just doesn't, I mean, God's kingdom. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we hear messages and sermons to bring this out, because you don't get this in school. You don't get this in the world, because the world mentality is, I'm going to jump on top of you and climb on top of you to get to the top. And God says, you want to get to the top? Serve people. You want to be great? Give. It is better to give than to receive. Your physical brain goes, that just doesn't make sense. How many believes the kingdom, the creator of all things, knows a lot more than the smartest plan on this planet, the smartest person on this planet? And he knows truly how you would be happy, what would make you joyful more than you. And the great thing about God is he says, I want you to be happier than what you want to be happy. I want you to be more successful than even what you want to be successful. Why? Because he's a good, good father. And the great thing is, and this is why you need to have a relationship with him, because he can instruct you in the way that you should go so you can have success, so you can be full of joy and the good things of God. This is why you have a relationship. It's not about religion. Religion's man's way to get to God. What God wants is a relationship with His children, His sons and His daughters. He'll show you. But this is the thing. You think, in this world that we live, who would want to serve somebody who gets on their knees and wash dirty feet? You know, people would say, you know, I don't want to follow somebody like that in the world. But in Christianity and serving in God's kingdom, that's the kind of guy I want to follow. He should be having his feet washed. But he says, no, I'm going to show you. And he turned around and he washed their feet. And then he explained one of the reasons why, in verse 17, 16 and 17, John 13, 16. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed and happy to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. So he's saying there's great benefits. He said, first of all, you're going to be blessed and just happy just serving people. He says, there is a joy that comes in serving people like none other. Serving others actually puts you and me in first position. It causes us to go from last to first. When I put myself last and others first, I become first in the kingdom of God. Taking the towel helps me fulfill what God wants me to do in life. It just opens up things for me. Jesus declares that we ought to serve one another as He has served us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Be free from controversial or pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. But in authentic humility, put others first, and view others as more important than yourselves. So what is the motivation of why you serve? Why you give? Why you do anything for the kingdom of God? This is what is important to God. You're not working for or serving God for acceptance. You are already completely accepted and approved in the Beloved. Those who walk in love serve the Lord out of thankfulness for what God has already done. Those who serve out of fear are trying to get God's blessings or avert God's judgment. The motivation of love rests in what already has been done. The motivation of fear is predicated on the assumption that the verdict has yet to be decided. Love rests, fear frets. Which one do you want to be in? Which camp do you want to be in? I don't want to be fretting all the time. Oh, I got to do something for God because, you know, I just got to get on His good side. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no bad side. Are you hearing me? Philippians 2:13, the Amplified Version says, not in your own strength, for it is God who's all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. So this is what the great thing is. God's saying, I'm going to give you the power and the desire and everything. This really has nothing to do with you and me. Yeah. What? When you start talking to God, reading His Word, and having a relationship with you, things will start bubbling up on the inside of you to do. Most people are looking for a burning bush experience or a sound from heaven. God, I'm sitting here on the couch. I'm just waiting to hear your booming voice. And you'll probably hear cricket, cricket, cricket. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So this is the way that God will work in you and me. You'll just get a thought. You'll just get a desire. I think I'm going to go over so-and-so's house, take them a pie. I love that idea. Of someone taking me a pie. No, but anyway, you'll just get that. Or how about something simple as, you know, I wonder what so-and-so is doing. I haven't seen them in years. That's probably the Spirit of God on the inside of you saying, you need to pray for that person. That's serving. It's as simple and little as praying for somebody, as doing something for somebody, buying somebody a cup of coffee. I love buying people's lunch. I love buying coffee for people. I just love blessing people. And I believe that's not Mike Davis. I'm not saying that to brag on me. I believe that's a desire God put inside me, that anytime I'm with somebody, I know I got this. I'll fight them over, you know. If they're smaller than me. But anyway, I mean, which is not too often, but it's just something God has put inside of me. There's things that God, the Bible says that he's given grace to how many people? All people. What does that mean? There's something inside of you that you can be a blessing and serve somebody or do something that God, that people need. There's something inside of all of us. It leaves no one out. I wonder what kind of world we would live in if everybody opened up to the grace that is inside of them to serve mankind. What kind of world would we live in? It'd be a lot different than the world we live in right now. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God. By the what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, his what? Did Paul choose this? No, grace did. It says in I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, all of the apostles. Well, you braggadocious thing, you. But this is what he's saying. I worked harder than all of the disciples, all of the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God which was with me. Paul had a revelation of what I just said. He says, man, I serve people. I do this and I work hard. Man, I just do all of this. But he says, you know what? It's not me really working hard. It's the grace that's been given to me that's doing the working, giving me the ability. Giving me the ability. See, this is the great thing about the kingdom of God. It's not you and I striving and just trying to work hard. If you're doing that, you missed it. That's called self-righteous acts. I just have to work harder for God. I just have to just do this. No, you're missing it, honey. If you're doing that, you're missing the whole plan. There should be a rest. There should be a total rest. You know? I remember when I was dating Melody, we were in Bible school, and I lived probably 10 minutes from her. I was getting ready. Our days were so, when you go to Bible school full-time, work full-time, you know, and it's just you have zero time, Harley. So I was getting ready for work, and I got ready. I must have got something done early or something, and so I thought, man, I got an extra 20 minutes. And I knew what time Melody was going to work, and I knew she was home. So I thought, I got 20 minutes. So I jumped in my car, drove like a FedEx driver drives, pulled up, knocked on the door. She goes, what are you doing? I thought you were going to work. I got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes to spend with you. Aw, everybody. Aww. You shouldn't have had to be coached to do that, but anyway. Anyway, so I said, I just want to spend, you know, this is the thing. This is the thing. Nobody had to say, you know what? You should go spend some time with her. You got 10 minutes. My best friend didn't go, hey, what are you doing here? You got 10 extra minutes. Oh. Or an angel didn't appear and say, 10 minutes, you should go spend. Nobody, what was in it? It was inside of Mike. Love. Love would compel you to do that. All you need is... Don't make me go there. But anyway, love will compel you to do things that you don't even have to take any effort to do. I'll say it again. The love that has been placed in every believer, it's not even how much you love God. It's a revelation of how much God loves you, and that love is inside of you, and that love will compel you to do things that your natural mind would never want to do. And you don't have to be told by the preacher. You don't have to be told by anybody to say, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. No, what you should be doing is getting a revelation of how much God loves you, and you'll be compelled to do and serve in other people. You'll be compelled to give, you know. If a preacher has to come up and twist your arm to give, if a preacher has to twist your arm and, you know, we need people cleaning the church, or we need people doing this, what's the matter with y'all? You're missing it. Preachers are missing it. The church is missing it. There should be a love inside of each of us that compels us. No, I want to do that. No, I'm doing that. No, I'm going to do that. I would love to see fights like that. I want to do that. No, I want to do that. Woo-hoo-hoo. Let me just enjoy this for a minute. If it's arm twisting, it's works mentality. And it's self-righteousness. And it's not motivated by the love of God. If I have to twist your arm and to get you to be motivated in something, it's not even good. There's no fruit in that. It's your fruit, which will be rotten. But man, when it's compelled by the love of God, woo, ding, 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 ding. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Amen? 1 Peter 4:10. Every believer... Every believer, well, there you go. Every believer, my iPad was going, vutum, vutum, vutum. You should have saw it. Every believer has received grace gifts. How many people? Every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking His words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength that God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ, for to Him belong the power and the glory forever throughout all ages. That first part, verse 10, every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another. Everybody. Religion focuses on the outward actions, but Christianity focuses on the heart. Religion is all rules and regulations, while Christianity is all about relationship with actions as a fruit of that relationship. James said pure religion is expressed in actions. It is visiting those who are least able to take care of themselves, orphans and widows. So he's basically saying this. The principle is get in a relationship with the love of God. Find out how much He loves you. You know, it's really pushed. When I was growing up in church, we need to love God more. Oh, God, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more, God. Oh, I want to love you more, God. And the emphasis is on us. It's the wrong place. When you put the emphasis on how much God loves you, that will radically change your life. It will radically change your life. You'll have a want to, not a have to. If you have to have a have to, you haven't had a revelation of the love of God yet. I'm not saying it's a bad place to start. But I want to get to have to a want to. You know, if Melody found out that somebody, your mother, your father said, you need to go visit her. No, I don't really want to. No, you go over and visit her. And then Melody found out about that. How many know she would be, a little bit ticked off. But yet we think God's okay with that. Having to be told to do something. Having rules, you need to do these 5 things, these 10 things. How about finding out how much God loves you? When you understand how much He loves you, maybe that should be one of your prayers. God, open up my understanding. Open up my mind to realize how much You love me. I know your word says you love me, but I need to know it. I need to know. I need to have a revelation understanding of how much you love me. People say, well, this is how much he loved you. He died on the cross. Yes, he did. But it's not just about reading about it. Listen to me now. I'm closing. It's not just about reading it in the Word of God that he did that. But you need to have an understanding, a revelation that he did it for you. And you know that he did it for you. And you understand that he did it because of his great love for you. And when you get a hold of that, it's a simple thing. And you hear it probably in churches all the time. But do you really know it's about you? He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He wants you healed, prospered, blessed, going in and out. Everything that you set your hand to in Deuteronomy says will prosper. He tells us his will. He tells us his promises. He tells us everything that he wants to happen in your life. In the Word of God. But it's up to you and me to believe it. It is for me. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you... Pull that up, Lynn. 1 Peter 2:24. This is God's word. This is what he said has happened to you 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, this happened. Right before he was crucified, he took stripes upon all of his body. The Bible says he didn't even look like a man. It says he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. Most people understand that God died for our sins. So that we would be dead to sin, live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Pull up the New King James Version on that. That was the passion. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you... That little word called were is past tense. That you were healed. Most of you probably are believers in Jesus, born again, saved. If I went up to you, Tiffany, I'd say, you're not saved. Would you just say, I'm not? Or what would be your response if I said, I don't believe you're saved, Tiffany? Did you hear that? She lived in New York City, so she said, tough luck, I am. That's what most people would say up there. But anyway, she would be in my face about it. And if I argued with her for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, how about an hour? How about all day? At the end of the day, would I wear you down to where you would change your mind? I couldn't change your mind because she knows that she knows and all. Do you know when it comes to salvation, it's not just an get out of hell free card? Most people that, I don't. And if that was all it was, woo, I still sign me up. But this is what it is about salvation. The word in Hebrew means healing, prosperity, deliverance in every area of your life. Nothing broken. It means so much more than just, I don't go to hell and I get to go to heaven. This is my point. We should be that animate about everything else that is wrapped up in salvation. What am I saying? I shouldn't be able to talk you out of your healing. I shouldn't be able to talk you out of every need being met in your prosperity and your blessings. I shouldn't be able to talk you out of it. Most of us are really good about not being able to get talked out when it comes to salvation. How good are you about everything else that's wrapped up in salvation? You need to be that confident and that bold. You need to be that, Well, you know, you're getting these symptoms. You had this sickness, this and this and this. You know, you go, something should rise up within you just like that and go, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid for my healing. I am going to understand and believe that, and my healing will not be robbed from me. Are you hearing me? How animate. Let's just have the mentality to be wakened about everything that we talked about today. I think first starts off with how much God loves you. Get a hold of that. And then just have a desire to bless people, to serve people. In the church, outside of the church, people are hurting. People need prayer. You know, when you're in the grocery store, you know, you don't have to make a big deal about it. But, you know, when they get away from the crowd or whatever, you know, you say, hey, you doing all right? Would you mind if I pray for you? Is there anything that you need prayer for? If you feel led in your heart, you know, there's times that I just feel a prompting, you know, go pray for that person. My brain goes, no, no. But my heart says, they're hurting. And just you praying for them, all of a sudden springs up hope on the inside of them. People are in need of hope. And you have, the Bible says, Romans 15, 13, or 13, 15, one of those, that the God of all hope is inside of you. All hope is inside of you. We should be spreading the God of all hope to everybody around us. Amen? We're going to pray for you this morning. Prayer team on this right here, on my right and on your left. If you need healing in your body, we'll pray. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. Not Mike Davis, not any man. But the Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's a fact. Either you believe that or you don't. Most people try to excuse it and say, well, I could have passed away. Well, I'm not for sure about that. Well, then you just don't believe. Jesus said this, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many things? All things are possible to him that believes. Belief is a choice. I choose to believe. It's just so hard. No, it's not. It's a choice. I choose to believe what was written, that believers lay hands on the sick. So you go to the sick, you lay hands on them, you say, listen to me. When I lay hands on you, you're going to start, the recovery process will begin right now. You know, believers believe the word of God. People say, I'm a believer. And then you turn around and ask them, would you believe in healing? No, I don't believe in that stuff. Believers believe what the word of God says. So let's just believe the word today. How many just, let's just let your guard down. Let's just believe what the Bible says. And let's see what happens. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that minds would be open and receptive. I believe, Father, that if people are hurting in their body, I speak health and healing to their body right now. Pain to leave, organs to function right, systems in their body, nervous system, respiratory systems, every system to function right in Jesus' name. Sickness and disease, we drive you out by the word of God, by the name of Jesus. You leave people's bodies. Tumors and growths and every sickness and every disease, leave people's bodies by the name and by the authority and the power of Almighty God. You leave people's bodies. We take authority over any demonic oppression to leave people's bodies right now in Jesus' name. You be healed, you be whole, and you be restored in the name of Jesus. Lord, awaken us to your love so that we will have such a desire to help people, to serve people in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?